Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. Now, today's message is the 11th message in a series of messages that are intended to accompany a new book that we here at Reign of Grace Media Ministries are offering to you free of charge. The title of the book and the title of this series of messages that we will make available on DVD and CD is What is a Christian? And it's entitled, What is a Christian? A Biblical Study of the One True Faith. And through these messages and through the book, and the book goes into much more detail, depth, many more scriptures than what the recorded messages do. So I encourage you to get the book. As I said, we offer it free of charge. And this book is intended to help you in a process of self-examination, where the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, where the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, he says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves, except you be reprobates," disqualified. In other words, it is impended upon those who claim to be Christians to test their claim, examine their claim by the Bible, by what the Bible says. And the book and these messages are intended to guide you through that process of self-examination, to put your claim of salvation, your claim of being a Christian, to the test of Scripture and see if it holds up. I do the same thing. And we live in a day where there's so much deception, so much diversity in religion, and there's so much false Christianity, to be honest with you, that we need to just simply not take for granted that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, or that we're Christian, or that we're going even to a Christian church, even though it comes under the name of Christianity. So examine yourselves. Now, one of the passages of Scripture that I've been dealing with here in this book, and this is one of the chapters of the book that is divided into different parts, is Philippians, the book of Philippians, chapter 3 and verse 3. And this falls under the heading of the fact that true Christians are described in this one verse. True Christians described in one verse. Now, there are many verses of the Bible, passages of Scripture, that describe and define true Christians. But there are some that have just stood out to me that that just really concisely and fully encompass what the Bible says a true Christian is and a true Christian is not. And in fact, the whole idea of this book and this series of studies came from my preaching at our church here on this passage, Philippians 3 and verse 3. And it reads, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." So we have four phrases there in one verse that describe the reality of what it is to be a true Christian. Now, today we're going to deal with the phrase, rejoice in Christ Jesus. A true Christian is a sinner saved by grace who rejoices in Christ Jesus. Now, I've already dealt with the first phrase, "for we are the circumcision," and showed how that refers to a person who is born again by the Holy Spirit. You must be born again by the Holy Spirit. That's in light of the fact that we, by nature, were we and Adam were ruined by the fall. We fell into sin and death when Adam sinned, and as a result, we're born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. And in order for any of us to see and believe the gospel of God's grace in Christ, we must be born again. We must be given new hearts. We must be given spiritual life. We must be regenerated, having been ruined by the fall and redeemed by the blood of Christ. Speaking of God's elect now, we must be regenerated by the Holy Spirit. And that circumcision there that Paul's speaking of is circumcision of the heart, which is another emblem for or symbol or metaphorical way of speaking of the new birth, the cutting away of the filth of the flesh. And then I dealt with which worship God in the Spirit. That has to do with the revealed knowledge of God as He reveals Himself in Christ that brings a sinner both to see himself as a sinful person, depraved, with nothing to recommend myself unto God, in light of God's holiness, God's justice, and God's righteousness. God is a holy God. And that I can only be saved, blessed, and accepted with God through the merits, the obedience, the death, the goodness of His appointed substitute and surety, the Lord Jesus Christ, by His death, His burial, and His resurrection. My redemption, my salvation is all based upon the righteousness of another, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are the circumcision. That's another way to say we are the born again. It's a way of saying we are the elect of God, which worship God in the Spirit as the Holy Spirit guides us through the preached word and the revealed word and from our new heart. He said, I'll give you a new heart. And that's a new mind, new affections, new will, new spirit. And then he says, and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Now that's the one we're going to deal with today. A true Christian is a sinner saved by grace who rejoices in Christ Jesus. Now this word rejoice is an interesting word as it is translated in many versions, but in the King James Version, which many or most people have. Rejoice in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3 means this. It means to glory. Or you could even say it means to boast in the Lord Jesus Christ. Back up in verse 1 of Philippians 3, he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. The word rejoice there is a different word, different Greek word. That word, rejoice, in verse 1 means to be happy, to be glad. And certainly true Christians are glad and happy in Christ. Now that doesn't mean they're happy all the time and they enjoy life all the time. They go through trials and troubles and tribulations. Christ told His disciples, in the world you'll have trouble. But here's what makes us glad and happy if we're true Christians. He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So rejoice in Philippians 3:1 means to be happy, to be glad. But in verse 3, rejoice in Christ, it doesn't mean that. It means to glory. That word is translated glory. In fact, it means to have confidence in someone or something. Consider the many examples where this word is the same Greek word, but translated in different ways. For example, over in the book of Romans, chapter 2 and verse 17, here the Apostle Paul is talking about the ungodly boast of the unbelieving Jews. And he says in Romans 2:17, he says, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law. In other words, you see your salvation by your works of the law, and you makest thy boast of God. You brag, you boast, you glory in God because of your works. Now that's unbelief. But that word boast there is the same word as rejoice in Philippians 3:3. In the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, the apostle writes, Therefore being justified by faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now there's that same word, rejoice, that's in Philippians 3:3. We boast in hope of the glory of God. In other words, my boast is not in myself. My certainty, certain assurance of salvation is not in myself, it's in the glory of God. And where do you find the glory of God? Well, the Bible talks about the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God's glory is His majesty, His greatness. It's everything that He is working consistently together in the salvation of His people through Jesus Christ. And then Romans 5 and verse 3 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. The word glory there is the same word rejoice in Philippians 3:3. And how do we glory or boast in tribulations? Not just simply because we're going through some trouble. We can't glory in that. But we glory in the fact that that tribulation, that trouble, we who are Christians now, who believe in Christ, who rest in Him for all salvation, we boast in the fact that these tribulations will not separate us from Christ, will not diminish our salvation. We stand washed in His blood and clothed in His righteousness, and that can never change no matter what we're going through. In Romans 5:11, He says, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement, or reconciliation, what the word should be. But joy there is the same word, rejoice, we find in Philippians 3:3. We rejoice in Christ. Another example of that, this is special. He says, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1:29, and what he's talking about is how salvation has absolutely nothing to do or based on the sinner's qualifications or works. It is totally of God's free, sovereign grace, His mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. And he says, God has set it up this way, and God saves people whom by nature men don't think deserve it, and they don't. None of us do. But he does it this way, 1 Corinthians 1:29, that no flesh should glory or boast in His presence. Glory, same word as in Philippians 3:3. And then down in verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 1, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Another example is 1 Corinthians 3, verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. You know what he's talking about there? He's talking about people dividing over preachers. Admiring, giving too much admiration and too much glory to men. We're not to glory in men, we're to glory in Christ. In Galatians 6:14, now this is one that I want you to think about. In Galatians 6:14, Paul writes this. He says, but God forbid that I should glory. Now that's the same word, rejoice, in Philippians 3:3. He said, we rejoice in Christ. Well, he says here, God forbid that I should glory, save or except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. In other words, I have no boast or confidence of salvation except in one thing, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's His blood alone that washes away my sins. Nothing else does it. If I think my tears of repentance washes away my sins, then I'm not boasting only in Christ. If I think my water baptism washes away my sins, then I'm glorying in that, not in Christ. If I think my works have anything to do with it, if I think my decision had anything to do with it, you see, I don't. I'm a Christian. God forbid that I should glory except in the cross work, the redemptive work, the merits, the goodness, the quality, the power of what Christ accomplished in His death, burial, and resurrection on my behalf as my surety and substitute. To wash away my sins, that means to pay the debt to God's justice for all my sins and to bring forth righteousness which is charged to me and in whom I stand accepted in the Beloved. That's what it means. Now, another example is probably a little more familiar to you as far as the Scriptures go, and it's Ephesians 2 and verse 8, where the apostle writes, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, even faith." You can't, listen, if you believe the gospel, if you believe in Christ, you can't brag on that and boast of that as if you did it of your own free will, as they say today. Left to yourself, you would never believe the gospel. It's a gift of God, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. That word boast there is the same word as rejoice in Philippians 3 and verse 3. So all true Christians glory, boast, rejoice, and joy with confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He accomplished in His obedience unto death to bring forth righteousness. Don't glory or boast or rejoice or joy in yourself or in your works or even your decision, your will. Our confidence of being justified before God. That means being not guilty. That means being cleansed of all my sin, being forgiven, of being in a position where God will not and cannot charge me with sin. Even though I am a sinner, that's not fiction now. That's not God doing something and just trying to act it out or something, but justified, righteous before God. My confidence of being righteousness before God is in Christ and based upon His righteousness imputed alone. And I have no other boast, no other rejoicing. In the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Now, no man, none of us by nature love God. You say, "Well, I've always loved the Lord." No, you haven't. And if you did love a Lord, it was a God of your imagination, a God who was like unto yourself. When the true and living God reveals Himself to a sinner, that sinner finds out that no, there's no love of God for me. You see, the love of God in Romans chapter 5 is shed abroad in the hearts of God's people by the Holy Spirit as He drives them to Christ. And the Bible says, "Herein is love." This is 1 John 4:10. "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the sin-bearing sacrifice who brings satisfaction to God's justice, the propitiation for our sins." So back to Romans 8:28. "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called." Remember, I talked about that in another message where we talk about the new birth. The called of God are those who are called by the invincible calling of the Holy Spirit according to His purpose, and His purpose is His glory in Christ. So in verse 29 of Romans 8, He says, "For whom He did foreknow," literally foreordain, "He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." And He says in verse 30, "Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified." See, this is all the work of God. And so He says in verse 31, "What shall we say then to these things?" Well, He says, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" And in verse 32, He says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely, unconditionally, give us all things?" The all things that a true Christian has in Christ is all freely given. It's not conditioned on the sinner. It's not earned by the sinner. So who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, Christ risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, one of the things, when you talk about rejoicing in Christ Jesus, boasting in Christ, glorying in Christ and what He accomplished on Calvary, you need to consider again what exactly it means to be justified before God. For example, back in the Old Testament, when David of old, King David, who wrote a lot of the Psalms by inspiration of the Spirit, over in Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2, this is exactly what he had in mind. See, David wrote, he said, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." David was expressing back in Psalm 32 the confidence, the rejoicing, the joy, and even the boast that he had before God in the Lord Jesus Christ, not because of David's goodness or David's power or David's will. David was a sinner. On his deathbed, he admitted that. He said, "Although my house be not so with God, God has made with me a covenant, ordered in all things and sure." And he said, "This is all my salvation and all my desire." Talking about salvation by God's grace through the promised Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. But David wrote that in Psalm 32, and that's what he had in mind. Now, how can I know David's mind in this matter? Well, here's how. God the Holy Spirit tells us what David had in mind when he wrote that in Psalm 32. "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." God doesn't charge him with sin. How can I know what was in David's mind? Well, God the Holy Spirit tells us by the Apostle Paul over here in the book of Romans chapter 4 and verse 6. And here's what he says. He said, "Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works." When did David say that? If you go back to Psalm 32, you won't see the term righteousness. But what God the Holy Spirit is teaching us is this is exactly what David had in mind. When David wrote that, he was saying, "Blessed is the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works." Verse 7 of Romans 4, saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered." And that "covered" there doesn't mean just covered over and hidden from view. It's a reference to the covering of the ark, the lid, the mercy seat over the ark. Blood, covered with the blood of Christ, paid for, done away with. Verse 8, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." So a true Christian is one who is righteous before God. He's not righteous by any merit or goodness of his own works, but by the merit and goodness of the work of Jesus Christ imputed, charged, accounted to him. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he," that is God the Father, "hath made him," that is Jesus Christ, God the Son incarnate, "to be sin for us," that is his chosen people, his sheep, those for whom he died, "Christ who knew no sin, that we might be made or become the righteousness of God in him." So a true Christian is a sinner who cannot be condemned. He cannot be charged with sin, because there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. A true Christian is one who has confidence and security of mind and heart and spirit, because he stands before God in Jesus Christ as his advocate, his mediator, his intercessor. John wrote, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not." Fight sin. Seek obedience. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Who is it? Jesus Christ the righteous. Christ the righteous is my advocate. And I don't stand before God in my own righteousness, because my righteousness is in Christ. And he's the propitiation for our sin, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now the whole world there is not, that's 1 John 2, 1 and 2. The whole world there is not every individual in the whole world, but God's elect all over the world, Jew and Gentile. You see, a genuine Christian, therefore, is one who by the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit knows to some degree the exceeding sinfulness of his own sin. He knows that if God were to judge him based on his best efforts to obey the law, he would be condemned to eternal death. David wrote in Psalm 130 in verse 3, "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand?" Paul wrote in Romans 3:10, "As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one." He goes on to say in verse 13, "Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, and whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood." That's talking about the blood of sacrifice. "Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they've not known. The way of peace is Christ. And there's no fear of God before their eyes. There's no reverence or respect for this God who justifies the ungodly based on the righteousness of Christ." And so he says in Romans 3:19, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. And therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." My friend, the Bible teaches us that the fulfillment of the law that brings righteousness to a sinner is by Jesus Christ alone. For Christ is the end, the fulfillment, the finishing of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And so we say, we who are true Christians, we say with Paul, we rejoice in Christ. We glory in Christ. We boast in Christ. We have no plea before God but Christ. And our boldness, our liberty, our confidence to enter into the very holy presence of God is not by our works or our efforts. It's by Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and risen, His righteousness alone, His blood alone, His merits alone. And there is no other boast or glory. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.